behalf of the Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia, CRICA, and the Department of Slavic Languages and Literatures, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to our poetry reading and discussion this afternoon. For those who don't know me, my name is Jennifer Tischler, and I'm the Associate Director of CRICA. Many of you are aware that CRICA has a mandate to promote teaching, research, and outreach about Eurasia and Central Europe. We have some events, upcoming events, flyers for upcoming events on the table over here. And if you're not currently on our mailing list and you're interested in receiving our newsletter or our email announcements, please feel free to sign up on your way out. We are honored to have as our guests today Sergei Ganglevsky and Philip Netras. Many of you may be already familiar with Ganglevsky's work, but I just wanted to mention that Sergei Markovich was born in Moscow in 1952. That is 1 year before the death of Stalin. And therefore, he was too young a writer to benefit from the thaw, the period of cultural thaw of the 1960s. Rather, Sergei Markovich's experience as a writer is connected to the generation of the 70s, underground writers who did not overtly protest the Soviet system, but tried to live in opposition of it. As a writer who came of age during the period of stagnation of Brezhnev, Sergei Markovich never had the opportunity to recite his poetry to packed stadiums as Yevtushenko and Akhmedulina had done the decade before. Rather, he, like members of his 70s generation, discussed poetry around the kitchen table, continued to write, and worked a series of odd jobs to keep going without capitulating to what he saw as a morally bankrupt society. Ganglevsky's poetry appeared in print in the Soviet Union only in the late 1980s, and since then he has been recognized as one of the leading poets writing in Russian today. He was awarded both the Little Booker Prize and the Anti-Booker Prize in 1996, and writes not only poetry, but prose, including drama, novels, and critical essays. Philip Netras is Assistant Professor of English at John Carroll University, where he teaches American literature and creative writing. Netras spent a year in the Soviet Union in 1992, that is soon after the collapse, pursuing an independent project called Contemporary Russian Poetry and Its Response to Historical Change. And he is a poet and translator of Russian poetry. We have some books here, which you can take a look at after the reading. I should also mention that the University Bookstore has put a special order in for this bilingual edition, A Kindred Orphanhood, and those will be available at the University Bookstore once the copies here are gone. So, without further ado, please join me in welcoming today Sergei Ganglevsky and Philip Netras.
Want me to start? Let's jump. Thank you so much for having me here. Thanks very much to Jennifer Tischler for inviting us. We're sort of on this crazy Cross America tour. And what we've been doing is these bilingual readings, some all Russian readings, but thankfully for those of you who don't know very much Russian, it'll be bilingual. And also we'll do the translations first before the Russian, simply so that those of us who don't, you know, feel comfortable in the original will at least have a sense of what the subject matter is. And then hopefully you just sort of listen to the pure music of Ganglevsky's poems, which is one of the things that attracted me to them. Apropos of the Anti-Booker Prize, Ganglevsky is not simply won the Anti-Booker Prize, but also rejected the Anti-Booker Prize, which makes him, I don't know what, but a true punk of a punk. So I might say a few things here and there just about what attracted me to his work, and I hope Ganglevsky can sort of have patience with that. Usually in a traditional Russian reading, you wouldn't get any explanation at all, but there's sort of a translator's reflex to want to sort of explain how difficult it was to translate these poems. In any case, Ganglevsky, I met many poets when I was living in Russia and read a number of them, and his work stood out as simply the most stunning example of someone who seemed to catch the spirit of his age And not only that, but had this absolutely incredible explosive cocktail between vulgar sort of everyday life and pure music of poetry. So I thank him again for just being who he is. So let's just start with the first poem.
I think I'd prefer to stand up, if that's okay. This first poem is dedicated to a friend of Gonlevsky's who knew lots of songs, folk songs, about the Gulag experience. Sing something about prison and parting with tears and a mouthful of foam. Something from Kostroma or Velikiye Luki, but when drinking, something about the Gulag. This song's about how a son finally came home on medical leave, his hair gone white. He drank at Ninka's, cried at Klavka's, my God, have you forgiven us? Our train station, visible for miles around, a gutter lisping to itself, someone singing of platform farewells, of hooligans taken to the east, of people bred strategic cargo, traveling the homeland all day. A song about wasted life. I'm not particular, just play. In the fall, go out to the open fields, cool your head in homeland wind. A swallow of alcohol is like a hot rose unfolding in your chest. The night of the ravens hovers above, distances whistle through fingers. The homeland has no strangers, no everyone's here, and you breathe as if you woke to an overcast dawn. The door clangs, the gruel's brought in, you brush off your foolish hopes and are taken in your underwear. In the distance, a pond is covered in goose flesh. A semaphore forces itself to shine. Rain scatters down, and an unshaven man talks to himself as he passes by.
Добрый день, спасибо всем собравшимся за внимание. Что-нибудь о тюрьме и разлуке, со слезою и пеной у рта. Костромали, великие луки, но в застолье в чести Воркута. Это песня о том, как по справке сын седым воротился домой, пил у Нинки и плакал у Клавки. Ах ты, Господи, Боже ты мой! Наша станция, как на ладони, шепелявит свое водосток, а разлуки поют на перроне, хулиганов везут на восток. День-деньской колесят по отчизне, люди, хлеб, стратегический груз, что-нибудь о загубленной жизни, у меня невзыскательный вкус. Выйди осенью в чистое поле, ветром родины лоба студи, жаркой розой глоток алкоголя разворачивается в груди. Кружат ночи семейства вороньих, расстояния свищут в кулак. Для отечества нет посторонних, нет, и все тут. И дышится так, будто пасмурным утром проснулся, загремели, баланду внесли, от дурацких надежд отмахнулся, и в исподнем ведут. А вдали пруд, покрытый гусиную кожей, семафор через силу горит, сеет дождь. И небритый прохожий сам с собой на ходу говорит.
This is a poem in imitation of the translations of the Greek hexameter, but you'll see the content quite distinguishes itself. It's from that. Oh, the lilacs this May, bulging bunches fell fences in the villages. And on the ring of boulevards, they touch your face in the darkness, a smell to stir the soul. Squeeze your heart in your hand, go home like a blind man. I first met that naked kindergartner here on the boulevard, an archer with a sly look, and I must say that kid can shoot. Much water has passed under the bridge. Only an old splinter in the flesh is miraculously intact. I think it'll pass. But that morning, I sat here cross-legged and proud at the entrance to a gloomy cave of the metro, lilac branch in hand. I sent a smoke ring from my nostril, drank soda in rush hour, smiled and spoke in my heart to my fellow citizens. Fools, where are you heading? All in a crowd. Dolts, I'm 19. I've never held down a job, not planning to anytime soon. But do you know my secret? Can't you guess my secret? I spent last night at Laisa's. Viktor Zaylich is now a cuckold.
Ай да сирень в этом мае, выпукло крупные гроздья, валят плетни в деревнях, а на бульварном кольце тронут лицо в темноте, души мутительный запах, сердце рукою сдави во свояси, иди как слепой. Здесь на бульварах впервой повстречался мне голый дошкольник, лучник с лукавым лицом, изрядно стреляет малец. Много воды утекло, старая только заноза, мякоти чудом цела. Думаю, это пройдет. Поутру здесь я сидел нога на ногу, гордо у входа, в мрачную пропасть метро с ветвью сирени в руках. Кольца пускал из ноздрей, пил в час пик газировку, улыбнулся и рек согражданам в сердце своем. Дурни, куда вы толпой? Олухи, мне 19, сроду нигде не служил, не собираюсь и впредь. Знаете тайну мою? Моей вы не знаете тайны. Ночь я провел у Лаисы. Виктор Заилыч Рогат.
One of the things I like about this poem is the appearance of a character named Chavi Doolin in the first stanza, and at the very end of the poem. And even as a translator, I didn't kind of fully understand where that was going. But just remember that he's going to come back at the end. Okay. The chatter of daws in the autumn yard, and the ringing bell in school 13. The signature of a plane in clear dawn, a bench branded Chavi Doolin plus Olya. If I were not myself but another, I'd hang around here every night. No one's here, closed for repairs, snow is in the forecast. That's the movie I'd see in a foreign country. Here, in some heaps of trash, junkyard cats lustily do it this way and that. So here this guy should, you know, start to smoke. And right away does smoke, slowly. I'd smoke a different brand. Our life is good. It'll get us dead drunk, offer us a caramel, amaze us with a carousel, rollicking, mocking, furious, noisy. But it keeps on blaring. No rubles to cure the hangover. If it's like that, just before going over the edge, play for me by heart this narcosis. Sing a backyard song with a guttural refrain. Sing, play, talk about official Moscow, where the metro opens at 5:30, where kids are conceived on the hospital grass, and people kiss 3 times on Easter. If I weren't myself, I'd be the one making a memorable speech in the arena of sunset. I could watch that kind of movie for many years. Wouldn't be a bad deal. Chavi Doolin looks out from the window to share his excessive experience and shouts, no doubt, memory is a torment, but even a memory dies, and you can get used to that.
Чикиликанье галок в осеннем дворе и трезвон перемены в 13-й школе, росчерк Ту-104 на чистой заре и клеймо на скамье Хабибулин плюс Оля. Если б я был не я, а другой человек, я бы там вечерами слонялся до ныне. Все в разъезде, ремонт, ожидается снег. Вот такое кино мне смотреть на чужбине. Здесь помойные кошки какую-то дрянь с вожделением делят такие-сяки. Вот сейчас он, должно быть, закурит и впрямь не спеша закурил. Я курил бы другие. Хороша наша жизнь, напоит да пьяна, карамелью снабдит, удивит каруселью, шаловливо, глумливо, гневливо, шумно отшумит, не оставив рубля на похмелье. Если так, перед тем, как уйти под откос, пробеги-ка рукой по знакомым октавам, Наиграй мне по памяти этот наркоз. Спой дворовую песню с припевом картавом. Спой, сыграй, расскажи о казенной Москве, где пускают метро в половине шестого, зачинают детей в госпитальной траве, троекратно целуют на Пасху Христову. Если б я был не я, я бы там произнес интересную речь на арене заката. Вот такое кино мне смотреть на износ много лет. Разве это плохая расплата? Хабибулин выглядывает из окна, поделиться избыточным опытом, крикнуть, спору нет, память мучает. Но и она умирает, и к этому можно привыкнуть.
To land a job at the garage and sing about a black pistol, and not once in 10 years stop and visit your old mother. En route from Gosley in the south, after a canister of sour wine, screw some girl from Kaluga, leave her when she's pregnant. Gazeteria, lamb on Wednesdays, cod pea soup on Thursdays, to vow to a friend at lunch to rough up a garage owner, then surmount the promising crest of a 30th birthday. At dawn to drive for black market gravel and sing the black pistol. And if not lucky enough for this, to drift off, cheek on the steering wheel, to sleep, remembering gloomily a brawl in the Caucasus.
Устроиться на автобазу и петь про черный пистолет. Старухи матери ни разу не завернулись на 10 лет. Проездом из Газлей на юге с канистры кислого вина одной подруге из Калуги заделать сдуру пацана. В Рыгаловке рагу по средам, горох с треской по четвергам, божиться другу за обедом, впаять за вгару по рогам, преодолеть попутный гребень 30-летия, чем свет возить налево лес и щебень и петь про черный пистолет, а не обломится халтура, уснуть щекою на руле, с просонья вспоминая хмуро Махаловку в Махачкале.
This is the poem where the title of the book comes from, A Kindred Orphanhood, and it's a particular reference to the sense of connection that people felt, particularly who sort of opted out of this, you know, Soviet life. And also, I suppose, of the kindred orphanhood of people, I guess, writing poems. The second line of this poem is an impossible thing to translate, so I have to make one explanation, and that is it's a combination of two famous Soviet revolutionary names, Avzhenikidze and Dzerzhinsky, and the joke, which is lost on us, those of us who are Americans, is just that he's putting them together. So, here's our street, let's say, or Avzhenikidze Dzerzhinsky. It could be any Soviet province, but this is Moscow also. In the distance, the blocks bristle with the ugliness of heavy industry. Building skeletons, pipes, complexes stubbornly crawl to the heavens. As you can see, nothing special here. A drugstore, a line of folks, a shiner under a chick's eye. Everywhere, a burning smell. The workers in orange overalls pave, break apart, and curse the road year after year. Here's the author of this masterwork, inhaling linden and gasoline, lugging into the store 14 empty bottles for redemption. And here's the good, no longer young, near saintly woman who splashes water from a child's water can on flowers and looks out on the road from the balcony's height. In the kitchen, dinner simmers. In apartments, lights flare up. They have let her down often, these kin, these lovers, men. Today it's my turn. We grew up here, and now we've changed into gloomy uncles and foolish aunts. We pined away, became a little perverted. This is our street, dear Lord, here with an Akujava record and old Arbat sentiment. Year after year, we give the world the finger only in our pockets and burn our foolish hopes to ash. With children we play geography, Chita, Suchan, Karaganda. Faces and clothes decay. The fishermen loiter at the dead Yaza River. Such is this, Yakna Patafa, the last round ending in Lotto. The flood so near, you could touch it. And who's to blame for all this, Pushkin? We earned A's in this school of the sciences of fear and shame. Life will end, and forever the swearing and gossip will grow silent under the sky of the old yard. But in this godforsaken place, we knew a kindred orphanhood. We're from here. So by a hereditary birthmark, they searched for children in the old days.
Вот наша улица, допустим, Орджоники Дзержинского, родня советским захолустьем, но это все-таки Москва. Вдали топорщатся массивы промышленности некрасивой, каркасы, трубы, корпуса настырно лезут в небеса. Как видишь, нет примет особых. Аптека, очередь, фонарь под глазом бабы, всюду гарь. Рабочие в пунцовых робах дорогу много лет подряд мастят, ломают, матерят. Вот автор данного шедевра, вдыхая липы и бензин, 14 порожних евро-бутылок тащит в магазин. Вот женщина немолодая, хорошая, почти святая, из детской лейки на цветы побрызгала и с высоты балкона смотрит на дорогу. На кухне булькает обед, в квартирах вспыхивает свет, ее обманывали много, родня, любовники, мужья, сегодня очередь моя. Мы здесь росли и превратились в угрюмых дяди глупых теть, скучали, малость развратились, вот наша улица Господь, здесь с акуджавовской пластинкой, староарбатскую грустинкой годами прячут шиш в карман, испепеляют, как древлян, свои дурацкие надежды, с детьми играют в города, Чита, Сучан, Караганда, ветшают лица и одежды, бездельничают рыбаки у мертвой Яузы реки. Такая вот Якнапатофа доигрывает в спорт лото последний тур, а до потопа рукой подать, гадает, кто всему виною, Пушкин, что ли? Мы сдали напить в этой школе науку страха и стыда. Жизнь кончится, и навсегда умолкнут брани пересуды под небом старого двора, но знала чертова дыра родство сиротства. Мы отсюда. Так по родимому пятну детей искали в старину.
For those of you who know the tradition, you may have heard this in the Yevgeny Onegin stanza, 14-line stanza form. And for those of you who didn't, that's okay too. I don't think I knew it. I'd like to read a couple of the recent poems and then end with Elegia. Хорошо?
Elegia.
No, потом.
Хорошо.
Сейчас. Mm-hmm. All right. Once I thought he was a twin, but a neighbor informed me he wasn't a double, just an odd guy. He went number two on the stairway, both times in front of me, and on a Thursday, no less. My scoundrel people can tell the difference between plywood and tackboard. Or by way of evidence, I returned to the family from a friend of Valera's, three agonizing days in the round dance of shadows, and these good people don't trust my word anymore. That once every little thing made me happy. That's me in an Asian skullcap on a camel, grinning ear to ear, for just a ruble, and the seductive Leninabad is all around. I whiled away the age like an oriental fairy tale, a dromedary of alcohol, the feverish mirages. My wife removed this hangover mask from my face and put me down night, night, let me arise at dawn, not so down. It's when I laid down today.
Weren't we taught good things in school? Where that witch Maria Ivanovna was leading the lesson? Ivanov, how many times do I have to say, quit fidgeting, and don't lean on Anishenko, sit up like a human being. Everyone, open your notebooks and write in a new paragraph, the meaning of life.
Близнецами считал, а когда разузнал у соседки, оказался непарный чудак-человек. Он сходил по-большому на лестничной клетке оба раза при мне и в четверг. Мой народ отличает шельмец арголит от фанеры. Или взять, чтобы не быть голословным того же меня. Я в семью возвращался от друга Валеры в хороводе теней три мучительных дня. И уже не поверят мне на слово добрые люди, что когда-то я был каждой малости рад. В тюбетейке с ртом до ушей это я на верблюде, рубль всего, а вокруг обольстительный Ленинабад. Я свой век скоротал, как восточную сказку. Драмадер алкоголя, горячешные миражи, о, сними с меня, жена, похмельную маску и бай-бай уложи. Пусть я встану, чем свет, не таким удручающим, что ли, как сегодня прилег. Разве нас не учили хорошему в школе, где одна Марья Ивановна проводила урок? Иванов, сколько раз повторять, не вертись и не висни на Онищенко, сел по-людски, все открыли тетради, пишем с красной строки смысл жизни.
I said farewell to the Falstaff of youth and took my seat on the train. In the gradual process of evolution, I turned from playboy to lone wolf. And nonetheless, April, with its non-alcoholic drops, still pounded my head like hops. Should I hang some birdhouses, aim for some laudable goal, or should I just aim and fire? In short, I will not be consoled.
Фальстафу молодости я сказал «прощай» и сел в трамвай. В процессе эволюции не вдруг был шалопай, а стал бирюк. И тем не менее апрель с безалкогольную копелью мне ударяет в голову, как хмель. Не выдрузить ли несколько скворешин с похвальной целью? Не пострелять ли в цель? Короче говоря, я безутешен.
Will be the last one. This is called Elegy. There's an epigraph. I'm cold, transparent spring, Asat Manoshtam. The circus music of April, trolleys, saxophone, crows, covers Musky Cemetery, invites itself to a funeral. Did you come by chance alone, rhyming any way you can? Till now your heart was a torment, but you'll take anything when desperate. Then you'll remember the cool air, how you heard music around you, how the first Mandelstam book came out, slim, dark blue, prefaced by Dimschitz. And just like that, youth ended, a fragrant cornflower in a notebook. Who's in the U.S., who's suffering in Comey, as the poet Saadi said long ago? And you live your minute details. Lose your arm, wait for the trolley, and listen to graveside orations. Chin crumpled down on your scarf. Free of charge, and all the more dear, a saxophonist from Naples blows his exalted, protesting blues. Must be passing through.
Элегия. Апреля цирковая музыка, трамваи, саксофон, вороны накроют кладбищами узкое за панибрата с похоронной. Был или нет я здесь по случаю, рифмую на живую нитку, и вот доселе сердце мучаю, все пригодилось недобитку. И разом вспомнишь, как там дышится, какая слышится там гамма, и синий с предисловием дымшица выходит томик Мандельштама. Как раз и молодость кончается, гербарный василек в тетради, к кто в США, кто в Коми мается, как некогда сказал Саади. А ты живешь свою подробную, теряешь совесть, ждешь трамвая и речи слушаешь надгробные, шарф подбородком уминая, когда за даром, тем и дорого, с экзальтированным протестом трубит саксофонист из города Неаполя, видать, проездом. Спасибо за внимание.
So, Sergey would be happy to take questions, if there are any.
Questions from the floor.
Anxious silence.
English?
You can, yeah, you can ask in English. It's okay. Well, let me ask you a question. How many people here are native-speaking Russians? How many people here are studying undergraduates, studying Russian? Okay. I was once you. Somehow I got pulled into this.
There's a really, I guess, sense of a really strong narrative voice that comes through in the poetry a lot, of the poet talking, and I was just wondering how that voice can be developed within the poetry, within this to kind of form the style of that.
Понял. Это разбитие твоего крепкого голоса, имеется в виду, в стихах есть персонаж, там, герой, действительно яркий. Как это все получилось? Почему такой характер? Разговор.
Не совсем понял.
How to say this a different way? Jennifer, is there any other way to say what I just said?
Well, maybe start with the question, would he consider the voice of the poet separate from his own voice? Был вопрос о том, о голосе рассказчика. Если этот голос отличается от вашего собственного голоса, голос персоны в стихотворении. И если да, то как родился этот голос, как он родился?
Ну, есть такое общеизвестное литературоведческое сочетание, словосочетание. Лирический герой. Оно в том числе и предохраняет, ну, самолюбие автора, что ли. Это такой тактичный оборот.
Well, there's the sort of general idea in literary study of this. He calls it lyrical hero. This is a particularly Russian formulation, but this idea of personage. И последнее, как я забыл.
Ну, в том числе, это еще, ну, такой, ну, тактичный прием, чтобы не обидеть автора, да, что, что не говорят, что здесь автор струсил, а говорят, лирический герой струсил.
But this is some way of trying not to, this convention is a way of not insulting the author and saying that this is actually his sort of experience.
Но у этого словосочетания, лирический герой, есть и другой смысл, где на первый план выходит слово «герой».
And this has to do with the word.
В таком идеальном смысле.
In the ideal sense, the idealistic sense. But this is a different kind of sort of definition than.
Я думаю, что Поэт наводит свою личность на резкость, как в фото, понимаешь? Фокус. И получается лирический герой.
So he sort of narrows his experience like a camera's focusing a some image, and that's how this sort of persona emerges.
Если лирический герой не будет ничего, не будет иметь ничего общего, совсем ничего, абсолютно, с автором, то не будут верить.
If it has absolutely nothing to do with the author's life, then there's nothing to believe, I guess.
Ну, в общем, взаимоотношения автора и его лирического героя сложны и конфликтны.
So this relationship is complicated and conflicted.
Однажды на вопрос анкеты главная проблема вашей жизни.
The main problem of our life.
Я ответил. Неразделенная любовь к себе. Это понятно?
Не совсем.
Безответная любовь к себе.
He had to answer a question from this sort of questionnaire, and what's the biggest problem of our life? And it was this.
Ну, как любишь девушку, когда девушка тебя не любит, но ты любишь так сам себя, вот.
Unrequited love?
Unrequited
love?
Yeah.
Is that неразделенная would be unrequited love to oneself?
Нет, не oneself, а myself.
Other questions? Еще вопросы?
How do you think the role of the poet in Russia has changed with the political change of the early 90s? Do you think there's a very... In art in general, but poetry in particular?
Растолкуй, пожалуйста, какова роль поэта в... Когда?
В обществе. Ну, сейчас... Разница между сейчас и...
Как роль поэта?
И прежде, в какие годы?
From the beginning of the 90s?
Since the political change has occurred, since the fall of communism, how has the role of poetry changed?
Сколько времени у нас?
Я отвечу так, амбивалентно.
I'll answer ambivalently.
Раньше роль поэта в советском обществе
earlier in the Soviet society, the poet's role
была чрезвычайно велика.
Was extremely, like, maybe even too great.
Но там было мало поэзии.
But there was very little poetry.
На вечера популярных в те годы поэтов собирался стадион полный, то есть 10 тысяч человек.
People, like 10,000 people would go to hear poets read in these stadiums.
Я думаю, что во всем мире нет 10 тысяч ценителей поэзии.
And he thinks that maybe in the whole world there's not 10,000 people who, you know, really.
Значит,
like poetry,
увлекала не столько поэзия, сколько публицистика, которая содержалась в этих стихах.
So it must not have been poetry, but somehow the publicity of the events that drew people.
Сейчас в России на чтение хорошего поэта.
Еще раз.
Сейчас в России на чтение хорошего поэта. Ну, например, в Дартмуте живет замечательный поэт Лосев. Вот если он приедет в Россию сейчас.
Now if to a reading, if a poet came like Lev Losev from Dartmouth came to Russia.
На него соберется примерно столько народа, может быть, немного больше, чем сейчас на меня в Америке.
There would be maybe just a few more than are here in America.
Ну, я думаю, что если взвесить, так сказать, с эстетической точки зрения эту аудиторию и те 10 тысяч, то, в общем, любителей будет равное число.
But if you sort of, you know, weighed the value of the readers, that they'd be about the same as the big stadium.
Видимо, поэзия поделилась, вернее, уступила публицистику публицистике.
So poetry, there was a that, you know, publicity went the way of publicity, and poetry went the way of poetry.
Ну, то есть поэзия как публицистика стала, значит, меньше, но как поэзия это величина неизменная.
So poetry as a as publicity became less, but poetry as itself, you know, stayed the same.
Вот так.
Sergei's poetry reminds me of the American poet Charles Bukowski.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask if, like, when he was a younger writer in the 70s, if there was some kind of cross-pollination going mm-hmm. on, if there were some foreign writers who mm-hmm. had an influence in
the writing style. Как Bukowski, именно поэты в Америке.
Not necessarily American.
Или другие.
Да, кого-то читал, но,
he read somebody, but,
к сожалению, я скверно знаю английский.
But he, скверно?
Очень плохо.
Poorly.
Очень
yeah, poorly knows English.
Более того, я подозреваю, что именно для понимания поэзии нужно блистательное знание языка.
But in order to read poetry in other languages, you really have to know.
Потому что поэзия – это самая интимная часть языка.
Because it's the most intimate part of the language. На переводе ты читал?
Я читал, да, стихи Буковски.
В переводе?
Да.
But in translation, I guess he had. А другие, как Гинзбург?
Да, я читал.
Гинзбург.
I wonder whether this, following up on the question that one of the students raised, how has the subject matter perhaps changed in Russian poetry? Is it I don't know, more optimistic? Is it or is it less optimistic? Is it just how does it reflect, if at all? A different kind of relationship to Russia and to the United States or to the world.
Mm-hmm. So it's the general. You're interested in sort of the general sort of spirit of the poetry, because certainly he could answer differently about his own poetry. Because I noticed that quite a significant change.
Well, how has his poetry changed?
Изменилась ли поэзия после распада СССР? Есть сейчас в общем оптимизм или другой дух поэзии, другие сюжеты в общем или и в твоих стихах?
Мне кажется, что я как поэт изменился сильно.
It seems to me that I've changed a lot as a poet.
Но мне кажется, что я и как человек изменился.
But he's also changed the person a lot.
Чем моими изменениями я обязан вот историческим катаклизмом, я не знаю.
And to what degree this change is due to historical cataclysm, he doesn't really know.
Потому что не могу провести чистого эксперимента.
Because he can't do a pure experiment.
Посмотреть, каким бы я был, если бы, например, коммунизм не пал.
Who would he have been if communism hadn't? It's impossible to say. А насчет оптимизма?
Гражданского или поэтического? Ну, а уточни, какого?
So, are you interested in the optimism poetic or sort of as a citizen?
Is the mood of it? Is there a different mood in some of the poems?
poetic, поэтически.
Не знаю. Мой опыт, по-моему, он довольно общий.
He doesn't know. His experience is enough general.
С годами научаешься смотреть на вещи мрачнее.
With the years it has become more sort of dark.
Но еще научаешься не делать этого трагедии.
But you learn not to make a tragedy.
Right. Thank you.
Что перевешивает, не знаю.
So it's hard to learn. Philip, what have you noticed translating Sergei Markovich's poetry from different time periods?
He'd probably disagree with me, but I would have to say that maybe there was a kind of unique, as I said in the beginning, that to me he really spoke to most particularly this moment of the decline of the Zastoy, the stagnation period. But I noticed that there has been a kind of parallel line between his change and the country's change. And one of the changes is, if you notice, the last two poems, or the last few poems, were a bit shorter. The older poems were longer, more epic, they were more narrative, they're more interested in cataloging the sort of extent of underground life in this way that perhaps wasn't available. So it functioned, I think, culturally, just simply personally, but also functioned in this way of documentation in some sense, in the poetic sense of this life. And the more recent poems are much shorter. I think they're more funny. They're more straightforward. He says that he writes more about, you know, the primary things, love, death, etc., etc. And actually, some of them sound a little bit like hip hop. So here's an example of a recent poem, and you can hear the music and the speed and.
Я по лестнице спускаюсь и тихонько матюкаюсь. Толстой девочке внизу делаю козу. Разумеется, при спуске есть на психику нагрузки. Зря я выпил без закуски, как это по-русски. Солнце прячется за тучкой, Бобик бегает за жучкой, бьется бабушка над внучкой. Сделай дяде ручкой.
That's a good example of the difference, you know. And the subject matter is, you know, I walk down the stairs cussing under my breath. I, you know, sort of insult or give some sort of insulting gesture towards this large girl below me. In the descent, there is something it's sort of about getting older and becoming more grouchy, and yet the poem is so funny. You know, he talks about the very end is this old lady is trying to get her child to wave to the nice old man who's not nice at all. Oh, and the poem is not nice. The lyrical hero is not a hero at all. It's an anti-hero.
Like you said before, it's hard to tell what are the changes from a personal stance or political.
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying, right? That somehow he's changed a lot as a person, and that has changed a lot. Mm-hmm.
So,
the question is about
there's two kind of references to two very important folk singers in the Soviet, so the 50s and 60s, right? 60s and 70s, I'm sorry. The question is, you know, what sort of role, what sort of influence do they play in his own work? And actually, if you know Akujava and Wysotsky, there does seem to be some sort of fellow kind of feeling.
О влиянии судить не мне. Это я должен спрашивать, какие влияния вы видите. Но если говорить сознательно, то и эти оба автора вряд ли на меня влияли. Кто на меня мог влиять, это вот любимый мой из бардов, это Александр Галич. Потому что кого любишь, тот может повлиять против всякой воли.
It's hard to say what exactly influences us, but if he were to say, if he were to name one of these sort of folk singers, it would be Alexander Galich, not those two.
Да, я бы из них поставил Галича на первое место.
Галич is the best. Well, I thank you very much for your questions, and you can certainly come up and ask more questions after. If you're interested in looking at the books, please come up and we'll sell them to you. Thanks so much for coming. Thanks again to Jennifer.
Thank you.